This passage from the Sermon on the Mount gives us an opportunity to reflect on the complex topic of judging and being judged. Jesus says, "Stop judging, that you may not be judged, for as you judge, so will you be judged." I say this is a complex topic. In fact, it's become so difficult, it's almost impossible to sort out what people mean by judging. Maybe the most easily agreeable kinds of judging are, for example, people who judge athletic contests. So when there's a gymnastics meet or a boxing match, there are judges that determine the performance of the athletes. And that's still considered pretty acceptable, although in almost every case, people disagree with the judges. But they don't seem to disagree with the idea that it's allowable to judge athletes or to make evaluations of their performance. Almost as acceptable is the idea of judges in the judicial system, the legal system. People still generally accept the idea that somebody has to make a determination of guilt or innocence and hand out a sentence, and that's the work of judges. Although, as I say, it's not universally acceptable, and people are aware that some judges, if not many, are corrupt, or they do not hand down just judgments, and so that's why people question whether anyone has a right to be a judge or not. Although, how can you have a legal system without judges? Then there's the idea that I think is pretty common, that there will be some kind of a reckoning in the future, whether people call it Judgment Day or not. They say, in the future, your position or your actions are going to be evaluated. In the secular world, one of the expressions that connotes this is, you're on the wrong side of history. So when people say, you're on the wrong side of history, they're implying that in the future, when things become clearer to everyone, your position is going to be exposed as the wrong position. So it's not exactly a judgment day, but it implies a correct judgment in the future. Even if I can't convince you that you're wrong, you're on the wrong side of history, and eventually in 20, 30, 50 years, it will be clear how ridiculous your position is. Now, that's not based on truth, because people don't believe in such a thing as truth, but they think that the inevitable progress of the human family will make it clear how wrong their opponents are. And then there are still some people who will say, you have something to fear on Judgment Day. Even if they don't mean Judgment Day in the Christian sense, they mean, for example, when the environment is so degraded that we can't grow any more plants or people can't thrive, they say, well, if we don't take care of the environment now, well, you're going to suffer on Judgment Day. Meaning when there's this environmental disaster. Or I'm just using that as an example. I'm saying that there is still a sense in the popular mind that there has to be some kind of evaluation. But there's also a kind of assumption that no one is allowed to evaluate, or at least no one is allowed to tell me I'm wrong. And that's where this expression, stop judging, or do not judge, gets complicated. It seems that nowadays, people, when they say, do not judge me, or stop judging me, they really mean, you don't have a right to disagree with me. And that's not what Jesus means. He's not saying that we can't disagree or make some objective evaluation. Because if he did mean that, he would be setting us up for absolute impossibility of almost any human interaction. We have to make evaluation of things, of actions, of structures, of people. We have to. A few minutes ago, we were having trouble with the sound system. It was getting, you know, feedback. Well, we have to judge that. We have to make a decision. Is that too loud? Is that too soft? Is that microphone working? Is it not working? Is the operator doing his job? I mean, we have to make a judgment. It's not a moral judgment. It's not an accusation of sin. It's not a determination that someone's going to be thrown in prison or thrown in hell. It's just an evaluation of the reality. And we have to do that. In fact, we can't help it. We can't help but make determinations about whether something is acceptable or not. Is it too hot? Is it too cold? Should I turn on the electric fan? Should I turn it off? We're constantly doing things like that, and that has no moral connotation. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. When he says, stop judging that you may not be judged, he's talking about moral evaluation. Goodness or badness, or evil. He's saying you don't have a right to make a moral judgment of someone because you don't know, you can't see well enough to be able to do it properly. Now, later on, he starts talking about the splinter in the eye and the wooden beam in the eye. He doesn't say you can never take out a splinter from anybody's eye, meaning you can never judge, you can never help a person see better, have better moral judgment. He doesn't say that. He says before you can help someone see better, you yourself better get your eyesight cleared up. Get the wooden beam out of your own eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. So, you see, he's not eliminating the work of helping another person see. What he's saying is, before you can even attempt such a thing, you have a radical change that must take place in your own moral judgment, your own eyesight. A big wooden beam has to be taken out, and that's the work that we have to do on ourselves, or allow to be done to ourselves. Since we're practically blind to ourselves, we can't even see the wooden beam. We don't even know that we are prejudiced, or that we have made judgments, or that we are completely misunderstanding a person's motives. We don't even see it. Well, how can we get that wooden beam out of our eye? We need to humbly submit ourselves to God, to His Word, to the Church, and to the help of our brothers and sisters. Someone has to help us. The Word of God is certainly a very clear spotlight, and it shines on us. The Church has been given the responsibility of helping us see, and then we help one another. We help one another. In today's first reading, we hear about another kind of judgment, God's judgment of His own people. Here He evaluates the spiritual, moral condition of the northern tribes, the people of Israel, and He says, they have been unfaithful to me generation after generation after generation. I have sent them prophet after prophet after prophet. I have called them to faithfulness to the covenant, to following the commandments, they just don't do it. So, because they keep giving themselves up to evil ways, I have to give them up to exile. That's a judgment. God says, these, my children, are acting in a way that is destructive to themselves and is offensive to our covenant of love. I have to do something to correct them. He doesn't wipe them out. He doesn't destroy them with fire from heaven. He allows them to be taken into exile. He humiliates them. If anyone reads this passage objectively, they can say, well, you can hardly say that God is unjust. He's actually rather lenient with His people. Very, very patient. He waits hundreds of years before taking a step like this. He tries many, many things. In fact, he tries everything he can come up with to help the people come back to the right path. And only when it doesn't work does he allow this more severe punishment to take place. So, yes, God judges, but he's a very lenient judge, very patient, merciful judge. In modern times, I would say in the last couple hundred years, a shift has taken place. It used to be in previous eras that man thought of himself as being judged by God. In modern times, it is God who is being judged by man. To the degree nowadays that people just assume that God is wrong, or that God is not doing his job properly, and so he should not be given any place in society. That's a judgment. It's a judgment of the human family against God. God is not a good God. He doesn't prevent suffering. He allows children to have diseases. He lets wars go on and on. He's not protecting the innocent. So he's not a very good God. So why should we follow him? That's a very common judgment that people make against God. I think using the description that Jesus uses in today's gospel, that judgment of God is due to a very large wooden beam in our spiritual eyesight. We are with our own twisted, darkened, imperfect vision, establishing standards and then implying that and then imposing them on God. God, though, is very patient with us, even though we are critically evaluating him and rejecting him. He keeps trying to reveal himself to us. He keeps showing us his way, his perspective, his vision. This week, actually these weeks after Pentecost, are great examples of this. Yesterday we celebrated the Feast of Corpus Christi. It's hard to imagine, in fact we probably can't imagine, a more beautiful way for God to reach out to us, to make known to us who he is and how much he wants to dwell with us. He humbles himself, not only to become man, but to allow his human divine person to take the form of bread and wine so that we can eat him, so that we can take him in, so that he can dwell in us. It's the opposite of harsh judgment or rejection. He puts himself at risk that we will judge him devalue him, or that we won't even consider him important. And that's what's happened to the Eucharist. People don't even think it's important. They don't even care about the Eucharist. Well, God takes that risk in order to reach out to us. And if we want to understand this a little better, we can look ahead to this upcoming Friday's feast day of the Sacred Heart. God reveals his heart in Christ, a heart of love, not of judgment, not of harshness and condemnation and rigidity, but a tender, loving, merciful, extraordinarily merciful heart. Not a heart that is deceived by wooden beams or splinters, a perfect vision. But even though God sees us perfectly and sees every single sin and every single imperfection, he still loves us. That's the kind of judgment that we have to rejoice in. It's not a refusal to evaluate. It's an evaluation that is completely objective and makes very clear the rightness and the wrongness, and yet still loves us. So when Jesus says, "Stop judging that you may not be judged," he's actually asking us to be more like him. Be more like him. Don't ignore what is right and wrong. Don't pretend that good is evil and evil is good. Make correct evaluations, but then be merciful.